I do extend greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one who gives life, the one who makes life worth living, gives us purpose and hope and meaning. Certainly a privilege to be together and to worship the Lord together. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to use the first 17 verses as our text here this afternoon. In fact, I've entitled the message, God's Call to Holy Living. And looking at this particular passage of Scripture, it is really a continuation of chapter 4. In fact, really, the last part of chapter 4 and going into chapter 5 really tie together very well. And back in chapter 4, we have the exhortation not to live as the world. There in verse 17, to put off the old man, verse 22, and then in verse 24, to put on the new man. And then in verse 30, talks about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in our hearts and in our lives. So I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 5, begin reading in verse 1, read through verse 17. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Looking at this passage of Scripture is probably one of the greatest challenges of all Scripture, really. Imagine the call of God is for us to pattern our lives after God Himself, and that continues to be a challenge to me. And I'd just like to share with you several thoughts here this afternoon as we look at this passage of Scripture and the challenge here before us. And there's four specific areas that I would like for us to think about. First of all, in verse 1 talks about being followers of God. And then secondly, we like to think about and look at how that is lived out by walking in love. And then thirdly, we're to walk in light. And then number 4, we're to walk circumspectly. So we'll be spending most of our time here this afternoon talking about followers of God. What does that mean? And then walking in love. First of all, let's look at verse number 1, where it begins here by a call of God to us as people to be followers of God. And just looking at this whole concept, in fact, the Bible says, "Be ye." And in fact, the concept there of being is to become followers of God. You know, as if we're going to be followers of God, it needs to start somewhere. And I believe that it starts down at the foot of the cross, where we meet Jesus there in a personal relationship with Him. That's where it begins. And that's really the concept that we see here. Be is to become a follower of God. And then from there, It's a life of growth as we allow the Holy Spirit to work and move in our hearts and lives, growing in that relationship with Christ. Now, as we think about following, I some time ago ran across a very interesting story that talked about this whole concept of following. There was this second grade school teacher who one day in math class asked her class, now, just suppose that there were 50 sheep over here in this field, and two of those 50 sheep go through the fence, and they're now over here. The question is, how many sheep are left? Well, little Johnny, he raised his hand, and he said, "Teacher, there'd be none left." And the teacher said, "Oh, Johnny, I don't believe you know your math." And Johnny said, "Well, teacher, I don't believe you know sheep." And I can verify that. As a boy growing up, we had sheep. And I know that where one went, the others went too. But you know, the point is this. We as human beings are very much like sheep. We follow. We have that tendency to follow. And I believe that God has created us with that tendency to follow so that we follow Him. But the question is today, who are we following? And looking at that, I have to conclude that there's two types of people in the world. There are those that are following God, and then there are those that are not following God. And I don't see an in-between there. I think it's either you're following God or you're not following God. But anyways, the Bible tells us here clearly that we are to be followers of God. In fact, some of the versions will say, instead of following, will say imitators of God. We're to be imitators of God. And the question comes to me, well, how are we to imitate God? You know, what is a pattern that we're looking at here? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So God's call to us is that of holiness. We're to live a life of holiness, separated from the world, separated unto Him, being set apart for God, simply as such. Now notice also there in verse 1, the call is for us to be followers of God as dear children. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be a follower of God as dear children? Well, several things, two things that come to my mind as we, in just thinking about children. I remember, especially our son. We have four children, and our oldest is a son. And I remember when he was probably about 3 or 4 years old, he enjoyed going with me wherever I went. And evenings, sometimes going out to the barn, it was after dark, and Brian wanted to go with me, but he was kind of scared. But you know what? When he had a hold of Dad's hand, everything was just fine. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid anymore. And so it is, friends, this afternoon, as we have our hand in the hand of God, we can have that full confidence in life. We can put our trust in Him, our faith in Him, and yes, we can allow Him to be in charge of our lives, and we can entrust our eternal destiny into His hand because He's God. So as children, we can have that confidence in God. As children have their confidence in parents, so we can have our confidence in God. So I see that as a very important factor in our relationship with God, to have that full confidence in Him. And then secondly, just thinking about children again, my son Brian, he loved to do what I did. And I remember so well being out there mowing grass, pushing that mower, mowing grass, and he had a little push toy as such, and guess what he was doing? He was out there mowing grass too with his push toy. And he enjoyed doing, he wanted to do what Dad's doing. And so it is here. I believe the Bible tells us here that we're to be imitators of God. We're to pattern our lives after Him. Remember, the exhortation is that, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's the exhortation of God. But more specifically then, The question is, how do we follow God? What does that mean in everyday living? What does it look like? Well, notice with me there in verse 2, the Bible says, walk in love. Walk in love. I like the thought which Adam Clark gives concerning this. He says, let every act of life be dedicated by love to God and man. So every action in my life is determined by my love for God and love for man. If that is the dictating part of my life, if that's really my priorities, you know what? That takes care of a lot of issues. Takes care of a lot of family problems, doesn't it? Not only that, it takes care of a lot of church problems too. If truly within our hearts, our deciding factor is governed by, first of all, our love to God and our love to people, love for people. And so I believe that that is, you know, truly a motto that we need to follow. In fact, Jesus gives us very specific instructions concerning this in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There again, Christ clearly giving us a commandment. Beyond just a good idea or a suggestion, it is a commandment that we are to love one another. In fact, he goes on to say there in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus is really saying, this is a test, folks. You know, this is how people will know whether you're truly my disciple. By your love. By your love. What's flowing from your life? What are the actions? Are they actions of love, or are they not actions of love? And, you know, just reflecting on, you know, our world around us. I mean, every time you pick up a newspaper, I mean, what do you see? Oh, the violence, the hate, the crime, the fighting. I mean, it is just, you know what I mean? It's just everywhere. And unfortunately, it's not limited to out there in the world, but it's also sometimes a problem within our churches where people don't get along and don't have that love for each other. So the question is, you know, what has happened to the love and the consideration that we are to have? And really, I think it's just really a result of the human sinful heart, the self-centeredness, self-willedness within our selfish human heart. But Jesus clearly says, you know, this is a test. This is how people will know that you're my disciple, is by your love, by your actions. Well, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't really hate that person, but, you know, I can't really say that I love him. You know, I just, you know, and you know, sometimes there are those people that just kind of rub us the wrong way. They're just kind of become a thorn in our side. I remember several years back out on the construction job, I had a construction supervisor. I was doing the interior trim there and had a construction supervisor that was one of those people that just seemed like was a thorn in my side and just, you know, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And this was really bothering me. I knew, you know, I knew that my attitude towards BJ wasn't what it should have been. And you know, I prayed about it, and I really had to humble myself before God and just ask Him to fill my heart with His love so that I can respond in love to BJ. And you know, it took a process of time, but God worked in my heart. And, you know, I apologized to BJ for my actions, for my words. And, but you know what? God touched my heart with a love that, you know, far beyond my human understanding. But it was God. And God does that. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, on my way traveling up here on the interstate, out on I-81 there, coming along, and I actually got in the left lane to pass a semi. And I was, you know what? I was thinking about this whole concept of walking in love, and guess what happened? A semi just pulled out right in front of me. I hit the brakes, almost rear-ended him. And the thought hit me, now how do I respond in love? I had a notion to get on the horn, you know. But God just spoke to my heart, you know. And thank God, you know, it's not my human nature to just relax and not to respond. I mean, my human nature is to get on that horn. Hey, you done violated my right, you know. That's our human nature. But when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, I believe that can be different. In fact, Jesus goes a step further and said, you know, hey, not only those that rub you the wrong way and are thorns in your side, but he said, you know, love your enemies. Do good to those who mistreat you. Wow, that's going a long ways there. But how can we accomplish that in our lives? Certainly not in our own human effort, but by the power of God, by simply allowing the Spirit of God, the work of God in our lives, and just asking Him. I many times I pray and say, God, you fill my heart with your love so that your love can flow through me. And another thing that I found very helpful is to pray for those people that you find difficult to love. I did a lot of praying for BJ that God would just help me to respond in love to him, and certainly not in my own strength, but in the strength of him, of Christ, that we can do that. Well, the Bible tells us there in our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, that we're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Christ is our perfect example in every area of life, and when it comes to the area of love, He is the supreme example. Christ, who was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come down in this sin-cursed earth and take on the form of a servant, die on the cross for our sins. You know, while mankind was rejecting God, was rejecting Christ, His love, He shed forth His love in sending Christ. And that is certainly a sacrificial love. In fact, that is a love that we can see. That's a love that we can experience when we look at the love of Christ and we experience His love in our hearts and in our lives. So as, the text there tells us that we're to love as Christ loved. And, you know, first of all, I believe it really begins with that relationship with Christ, and then that commitment, that of that sacrificial love. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. That's our response in loving Him. And as a result of that, of loving Him and surrendering to Him, to God, and to Him alone, we say no to the lust of the flesh. And we have a list there in verses 3, 4, and 5. We read that. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, all that. We say no to that. And back in chapter 4, it talks about putting off the old man. We put off the old man and we put on the new. We say no to the flesh and we say yes to the Spirit of God working and moving in our hearts and lives. The Bible tells us there in verse 6 that we're to not be deceived. God is warning us, says, don't be deceived. When people come and say, you know, it really doesn't matter how you live, you know, the most important thing is that you're, you know, what happens in your heart if you made that commitment to Christ, and then you can go on and live however you want to live. Friends, let me tell you, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the living God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And yes, it is truly a demonstration of the transformation in our lives when we respond in ways that are honoring to God. We seek to please Him. And, truly, I believe that our love for God is demonstrated by our holy living, by our actions, by our deeds. That demonstrates whether we have that true love for God. And I believe it goes a step further and is demonstrated by our relationship with others. You know, simply getting along with other people. That's a demonstration of the love of God working and moving in our hearts and lives. Well, let me just put it in a nutshell, really. What does it mean to walk in love? I believe it simply means that love becomes the deciding factor in my choices and the motivating power in my actions. You know, if my choices are motivated by love for God and man, the well-being of man, and you know, it really is the motivating power of my actions, my deeds that I do. I found in my life that it's a growing experience, continuing to grow. And the Apostle Paul gives us that exhortation that we're to increase and abound in love one to another continually, keeping on in that way. Well, not only are we called here to walk in love, but we're also called to walk in light. Notice that in verse 8, the Bible tells us that we who were sometimes in darkness, we were out there alienated from God, separated from God because of sin and darkness. We were in bondage, but now we've been brought into the light through Jesus Christ. We've been made alive through Christ. And now the exhortation is to walk in that light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Yes, the life, the life that we experience comes from Christ and from Him alone. He is the source of life. And He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that gives us a purpose and meaning in life. You know, we have the light of the Word of God to lead us, to direct us, to guide us, to give us, to lead us into all truth. That is the Word. That is, God has given us His Word for that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And friends, this afternoon, as we walk in the light of the truth, we will not stumble. We will not fall. But as we walk in the light of God's Word, then we will stay on course. And we will not be deterred by the enemy. And yes, the enemy is at work. The enemy is trying to get us off course, to deceive us and to cause us to stumble and to fall. But as we stand on the Word of God and we're rooted and grounded and we walk in the light of the Word of God, then we will not fall, but we will move forward in our lives and bring honor and glory to God. We allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our hearts and lives. Verse 9 talks about that. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, the righteousness, the truth that flows from our lives as a result of walking in light and just allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our lives. Notice verse 10. The King James says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." I believe the NIV says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." You know, that becomes then our goal, to find out what pleases God. You know, what does He have for me? What direction, you know, what is He calling me to? How can I most effectively serve Him? And we walk in that light. Yes, the light of God's Word. We walk in the glorious gospel of Christ. And our lives, our actions, our deeds proclaim that. They show that. Well, right along with that, going right hand in hand with walking in light, we are to walk circumspectly. Verse 15 tells us that. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Simply the word circumspectly means to walk diligently. To walk diligently, accurately, and carefully. Kenneth Wist says this concerning that: "Be constantly taking heed, therefore, how accurately you are conducting yourselves." You know, it's something we need to be constantly aware of and constantly monitoring as such, you know, to see that our life and our conduct is in line with the Word of God. You know, it's just like when we're driving down the highway, you know, we need to stay alert of where we're going. You know, you do a lot of window shopping and, you know, you'll end up over on that ditch. You do like, you know, we need to constantly be aware of where we're going, to pay attention to where we're headed and pay attention to the details. And so it is in our lives. We need that checkup. We need to constantly pay attention to, you know, how is our life lining up with the Word of God? It's not with what, you know, somebody else says, but it's what does the Word say? You know, people sometimes get us off course. You know, that's the danger of following people. I mentioned at the onset, you know, there's two kinds of people. One, those that are following God, those that are not following God. You know, we follow man, we end up sometimes where we don't want to be. And so it's important that we have our focus and the right place, first of all, and then we stay in touch and we allow the Word of God to be that light and that source of direction for us. We are alert to that. Now notice in verse 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The concept there is a bit more than just making good use of our time, but it also means that we're to make good use of every opportunity that God gives us. Because we're living in the last days. Time is short. Christ's return is at hand. And we see all around us evil, and the evil is abounding. So we, as salt and light, are called to be that salt and light in a dark and sinful world. So as God gives us the opportunity to witness, to share the good news of the gospel, we need to take that opportunity. We need to be aware of the opportunity, maybe even pray and ask God to give us the opportunity to witness and to share His love. And it may be also that God gives us the opportunity to simply give a cup of cold water to someone that is in need, someone that's thirsty, reaching out to them with a word of encouragement, doing it all in the name of Christ. Yes, making good use of the opportunities that God gives us today, wherever we're at. You know, we stop at the service station, whatever opportunities, at the motel, whatever opportunities to drop a word for Christ. That is what that context is telling us. Certainly realizing that time is short. And again, in verse 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yes, we follow God's leading and His direction. And I trust this afternoon that our hearts and we will be encouraged and strengthened in the concept of yes, just allowing God to be God in our lives. We purpose that we're going to follow Him in full obedience. That's our hearts. And then secondly, we purpose to walk in love, to just allow His love to flow through us and to reach out to those about us, those that God puts us in touch with. And then, thirdly, we walk in light. We walk in the light of God's Word. This is our roadmap. This is our direction. We walk in that light. And then number four, we walk circumspectly or diligently, being aware of the situation about us and where we're at in our relationship with God and the opportunities that God gives us each day. May God bless you as you follow Him and as you do so diligently, walking in love and in light. God bless you.